We'll turn over to Genesis. I want to look at a couple of places this morning. Over here in Genesis, dealing with Abraham and Sarah. I want to kind of pick this up with Sarah here, where the Lord tells her she's going to have a son. And of course, you know, Sarah, logically, I say logically, humanistically, or from the physical standpoint, she kind of chuckles a little bit. You know, and I don't want to get too pious because I'd have probably done the same thing. I mean, you're talking about a 90-year-old woman and a 99-year-old man, and somebody telling them, "Hey, y'all gonna have a baby next year." That's from the flesh standpoint. That's a little hard to swallow. And Abraham even laughed in his heart and said, "Oh, that Ishmael would live before thee forever." And the Lord said, "No, we're not gonna do that one either, Abraham. You're going to have your own son." Now here we find here in verse 9, in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 9. I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 9. We find Sarah. And this is the Lord speaking. And they said unto him, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. And therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, 'I shall of a surety bear a child which am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord?" That's going to be our text today. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And it says, "At the time appointed, I will return to thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Let's pray. Father, we thank you. And we thank you for your mercy, your grace. And Father, I ask you to bless the services today. And Father, your message to your people. And Father, help us this morning. And Father, there's nothing too hard. There is nothing too hard for thee. And Father, that most of the time, you know, Lord, that we're our biggest hindrance. Help us this morning, Father. We go through this. Father, bless it now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we find here that Sarah laughed within herself, and the Lord calls her out on it. And then we find that Sarah lies and says she didn't laugh. And, of course, the Lord calls her out on that. So if you wanted a kind of an outline, you could say she laughed, she lied, and she languished. Because of the fact that she laughed because the Lord said it, she lied because she was scared, and she languished when her son was born and Ishmael started making fun of him, and she languished over it that she wanted to just get him gone from the fruit. She didn't want to have it. Now, that's not the sermon this morning. That's just kind of a topic off the top of the head. But what I want to look at is that Sarah says, "Shall I have a pleasure? You know, am I going to be that I'm going to have a child now that I'm waxed old and my husband's old now? Now, Lord, you're going to give us a child? Kind of late now, ain't it, Lord?" You know, kind of laughing sarcastically. It was a sarcastic laugh within inside is what it was. You know, "Now, Lord, you said all this. He's going to be a father of many nations." You know, Abraham and her must have laid there at night through all those years. And Abraham would say, "You know, the Lord told me this today. And I talked with the Lord and he said, I'm going to be the father. We're going to have many nations. Sarah, we're going to have a bunch of, you know." Now, listen, if you said you were the father of many nations, wouldn't you think, "Well, we're going to have a bunch of kids"? That would be your first instinct. How do you multiply? By having kids. So he must be telling her, "Man, we're going to have all these kids." And all. Can you imagine Sarah for all these years hearing that from her husband, wanting a child desperately? And you think, kind of wonder how you figure that it drove her to give her handmaiden. I'd say it wasn't pretty much, you know, a woman's anguish for something like that could drive her. I mean, I'm not too hard on old Sarah. Why? Because she'd heard it over and over and over and over for years. We're going to have many nations. The Lord told me I'm going to be the father of many nations, and it's going to be like the sands of the sea, the stars of the sky. Sarah, can you imagine it, Sarah? Sarah, can you just see it with me, honey? And Sarah getting older and older, and no children, no children, no children. Ladies, what would you think when your husband, the next time he come up there, shut up, Abraham, I don't want to hear it. I know, now ladies, I understand men are different than women, that's plain to see, but you think different, you're more emotional. Wouldn't that not upset you and get you your feelings hurt after a while? You just say, shut up, Abraham, I don't want to talk about it. And I can just see Sarah running back to her tent and crying. I can't even have a child. What have I done wrong? It must be me. I know how you women think. Well, not always, but that's a sketchy statement. I've just been around a bunch of y'all in my house. It's got to be my fault. What did I do? And so, Sarah's sitting there and she's going through this, and when the Lord shows up and makes this statement, I can understand the chuckle. I can, from a humanistic, from a physical standpoint, I can understand it. She's on up in age, man. The time has passed. She's probably, Abraham doesn't even talk to her about it anymore because it's become a sore subject at the house. He's like, no, I'm not even going to mention it to her. And then the Lord shows up. And the Lord says, I'm old. You're going to have a child this time next year. You're going to have a child. So you know she had to go, okay, now? Now we're going to do it? Inside, in her heart, she said, okay, now. Now that I'm old and my husband's old, we're going to have kids. You see, you've got to get the mindset in the setup of what's going on. Of why she does what she does. You would have done the same thing. I would have done the same thing. I'd have done like Abraham. I'd have laughed in my heart. Oh, that Ishmael, Lord, would live before thee forever. I'd have done the same thing. I'd have laughed. I'd have said, Lord, I just don't understand. But then the Lord makes a great statement. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Brings everything back into context. The Lord has a great way of just bringing everything back into focus. He just goes, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Abraham, have you seen me, anything too hard for me to do? It's a great question. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No. We know the answer. No, there's not. But there has to be, I tell you, for us, there has to be a path in which we walk. Now take your Bible and turn over to Proverbs. This is a great verse. A lot of preachers sign Bibles with this verse. Go over to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. You know exactly where I'm going. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 and 6. Let's look at this for a minute. Now these are Proverbs. This is the practical things that God gives out. If you read a Proverbs a day, you'd be well off to learn some of the Proverbs, because they have great practical knowledge in Proverbs. Now we understand there's nothing too hard for the Lord. I'm down with that. I understand though, from my perspective, from my finite mind, from my limited perspective, from my limited view through this flesh and this body of flesh and bone and muscle and sinew, that there's only so much that I can see. And whether I be a champion of the faith or not, my faith only goes so far because my flesh. Listen, there's a lot of times, man, I've been on my knees and prayed and said, Lord, I know you can do this. And he didn't do it. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty good blow sometimes, especially when it's close to somebody that you love. And it's somebody that's dear and near to you. And they go, no. And it hits your faith. Is there anything too hard for God to do? No, He could have done it. But I don't understand why He didn't. See? Now we're getting back down to where our level. Kind of, I don't want to say sketchy, but sometimes, man, it's kind of, man, you're like, okay, I don't know if I want to put myself out there. I don't want to get out there and get hurt. Because if I ask for this and I don't get it, I'm going to be hurt. And I don't want to lose that relationship. I don't want to hurt my fellowship. See? And so we're always kind of not leery, but very cautious. Now, when you get over here in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6, like I said, there's a lot of, man, I know a lot of preachers use this to sign kids' Bibles. You know, and of course they'll sign over there in Joshua, you know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord in different places. But notice here with me real quick here in Proverbs chapter 3, and just starting in verse 5, let's break this thing down and look at some of this. Just kind of break the whole thing down and look at it. Notice Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." Now that's a great memory verse. If you wanted a memory verse to memorize, I would recommend that verse to memorize. It's a great memory verse. Matter of fact, it's probably one of the first ones that people are given to memorize. It's a very common verse. I would say probably in most of the Sunday school classes downstairs, that's been one of your memory verses. Because it's a real profound verse. The problem is that it is profound in its context and everything about it. The thing is that we hear it so much and people have signed it so much and you've talked about it so much, we lose the depth of what the verse is saying. The first thing, look, it says, "Trust the Lord." Just take that right there. Trust the Lord. Now you've got to go back and you've got to do a little self-examination. Do I trust the Lord? Well, I trust Him to save me. I trust in my Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I did that. I trust the Lord. I know He can save me. I know He's going to get me through. All right, we've got part of it. Trust the Lord. You've got to have that part before you can go any further. But the depth of this verse is pretty miraculous in a lot of ways because it kind of brings in a little clarity to some things. Trust the Lord. Now, of course, we can go over to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 where it says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Trusting the Lord, you cast all your cares on Him. You lay that burden, you cast it on Him. Now, sometimes that one's a little more tricky for us. Because we really don't like to let go of things. Sometimes we actually enjoy wallowing in our problems. And we can't get rid of them. Now, if you're like me, there's times certain problems, some things roll off of me like water, but some things, man, I lay awake at night. I can't get to sleep over. Some things, like water, man, just poof, no problem. Certain things, I'll lay there, man, and I'll roll. And I'll toss. And my heart, man, it's like, man, I can't get this thing figured out. Why can't I just let it go? Why can't... Okay, I got to let it go. Okay, here we go. Okay, sleep. Think. Don't think on it. Lord, take care of it. And I got to really work myself into just casting it over. You ever been that way? Okay, good. I'm not the only one. Why? Because you're human. Got to remember the human aspect is always in play with us, whether we like to admit it. Now, I desire to be a spiritual warrior. I desire, man, to wield the hand of God, you know, as far as the book and be able to do it rightly divide and, you know, be able to walk with the Lord and just step out off of a cliff and know the Lord's going to take, you know, I desire that, but my flesh is there. And besides that, I'm afraid of heights. I ain't real crazy about high places like that. You know, it's like, Lord, I don't know if I want to step off there. But it says, trust the Lord. You've got to start there. You've got to trust the Lord. Now notice what he says next. He says, with all thine heart. Trust the Lord. Okay, we got that. But it's not just a head knowledge. Okay, I got it in my head. Trust the Lord, trust the Lord. I got that. I understand. I got the mechanics. I know what the Bible says. Listen, hey, I know the verses, casting all your care upon Him. I can quote it. 1 Peter 5:7, for He cared for me. I got it down in my head, but in my heart, man, I got butterflies. I don't know if I can do that or not. I'm not sure. Let me see if I can figure something out, Lord. Hold on. Lord, I love you, but let me see if I can figure it out first. And if I can figure it out, then do you not do that? Do you not try to figure out your own way? We're the world's worst for it, being in this flesh. We love the Lord. I'm not doubting anybody in here that don't love the Lord. And I'm not doubting any how you say, well, I want to trust the Lord. But I also know the heart gets a little fluttery, a little bit of emotion. Gets in there. It gets a little, let me just pull out my credit card and use it this time, Lord. I'll cover it this time. I'll do better next time. With all thine heart. With all thine heart is where you can stop and go, no matter what. No matter what. I'm just going to lean on you, Lord. And we don't like that. It's too much uncertainty for us. We can't see past a certain point. We can't see the depth. We're limited in our view. We've only get to see out this one little window. I can't see enough, Lord. You're not allowing me to have enough vision here, Lord. Lord said, trust me with all your heart. I've got this. But Lord, I really would like to have a little more view on this. Until I get a little more view, until I'm really sure that's what you want me to do, I think I'll just wait. And that's what we do. And there's opportunities missed when we do that. Victories lost when we do that. You say, well, what's the timing? Trust the Lord with all thine heart. In everything. Everything. There. Well, I'm good. I'm good with my finances, but I don't know about my personal life. Or I'm good with my personal life, but I don't know, Lord, my finances, you know. Or I'm good, Lord, with this, but I don't know about my kids. Now, Lord, let me just keep them to me. See, it just depends on who you are and what situation it is. Just depends on who you are and what you're at now, because we're all at different levels. We're all at different places. We're all going through different things at different times. That's why the Bible says, trust with all thine heart. Now notice he says, lean not unto thy own understanding. Now here just depends on what situation you're in. Don't lean unto your own understanding if you're going through something financial. Don't lean unto your understanding if you're going through something emotional. Don't lean unto your own understanding if you're going through something spiritual. Wherever you're at, plug that in there. Because that's too many verses for me to have to run to try to figure them out. To meet everybody's need. Because everybody, whether we like it or not, are not in the same place today, right here at this moment. What I'm going through, you're not going through. What you're going through, I'm not going through. But you're going through something that doesn't make yours any less important than mine. They're all important equally across the board. But the thing is, we still got to learn to trust with all our heart and lean not to what we think. Not my understanding. Because my understanding is skewed. You know why? Because I'm in for me. And I'm in it to win it. And the Lord may say, I don't even want you playing that game. You see? I don't even want you going there. Well, Lord, that looks pretty, it looks pretty good. Yeah, Lot thought that would look real good over there by Sodom, but he shouldn't have went there either. You see? It's not my understanding. It's not your understanding. It's got to lean unto His understanding. That's why when preachers get up and say, listen, you need to read your Bible. You need to pray. You need to develop these skill sets. You need to have these things available to you. Why? So that when you get in that situation, you're not leaning to your own understanding. You've developed something in you. And so, unlike Sarah in that position, now, like I said, I'm not kicking Sarah. But I am saying this, had Sarah developed those things, she wouldn't have laughed like she laughed. See, Abraham laughed. Let's look at what Abraham did. Notice how it says, lean not unto thine own understanding. Now let's look at Abraham. Back up a couple of verses, chapters. Back over there with Abraham. Back over to Genesis chapter 18. Now, if you go back over to Genesis chapter 17, the Lord's talking to Abraham. And look, pick it up in 17:9. He says, "And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant. Therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations, this is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised." He's going through this mark that he's telling Abraham, you're going to, from now on, this is what you're going to do. Right? Now, jump over to verse 17:17. Look. "And Abraham fell on his face." Now, this is the Lord telling him he's fixing to have a son, Isaac. He's saying, "And Abraham fell on his face and laughed." Now, he done the same thing that Sarah did. Same exact thing. But notice the outcome is different. This is what got Sarah in trouble. Now, watch what Abraham did. He laughed just like she did. And he said, "Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" I mean, almost verbatim, different wording that Sarah said. "Shall I have pleasure in my old age, you know, and my husband, my Lord, all being old also?" "And Abraham said unto the Lord, Oh, that Ishmael may live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him." Now notice he goes through that whole thing. And Abraham laughed just like Sarah did. The difference is, pick it up in verse 23. "And Abraham took Ishmael his son and all that were born in his house and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men in Abraham of Abraham's house, and circumcised them. He leaned not unto his own understanding, but in all his ways acknowledged." He got up and he laughed. He said, but then he said, "Well, the Lord said, do it. Let's do it." So he did. When Sarah was confronted with it, she lied. And there's the issue. Now, that's not to beat up on the ladies. Don't get me wrong. It has nothing to do with that. I can show you great women of the Bible. And some of them, a lot of them are my heroes. But this is just a particular instance, the difference between two individuals and how they react to what God tells them. Sarah did one thing, Abraham did the other. Abraham leaned not to his own understanding. He said, "I don't understand it. This don't make no sense. Why should I get up here and go do that? It's not going to come to pass. It never has come to pass. I've heard this for years and years and years and years. I've heard it since I was a boy over there in the Ur of the Chaldees. Lord, I love you. I know you've led me this far and I know you've taken care of me. But I mean, come on, Lord. When is it going to end, this thing you're trying to tell me? I just can't fathom it." I mean, at some point you start to question. You know, 59 years old, my wife, bless her heart, is in her 50s. If the Lord said, "You're going to have a child," I'd be like, "Okay, now, Lord, now listen. A little old here." Wouldn't you? Some of you that are older, you'd be the same way. You'd be like, "Okay, now, Lord, am I hearing right?" That makes absolutely no sense. Now, could you imagine hearing that for years upon year upon years upon years upon years? At some point, it would wear on you. Now, I'm talking about from the humanistic side. I understand Abraham's father of faith, and I understand Abraham's a great man. He's our father. I understand all that. But he's also a man. I understand how we think. And we think after a while, you keep hearing it, man, you start to kind of doubt a little bit. But notice, Abraham never leaned to his own understanding. That's a good example of that Proverbs 3. Leaning not to thine own understanding. Abraham said, "Listen, I don't understand it. I'm just going to keep going. Exactly what I'm supposed to be doing." He said, "Do this. That's what I'm going to do." You want to know how to not lean on to your own understanding? Here's what you do. Do what you know to do. And keep doing it. What you know to do, do. Until something else is given you to go a different direction. You know it's right to come to church. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I don't know what's going on. I'm not sure how this is going to turn out. I know my life is a mess right now, but I know I'm supposed to be in church. I'm going to be there. I know I'm supposed to do this. I'm going to be there. That's not leaning to your own understanding. You follow what you know to do is right. You say, well, I don't feel like it. I don't think God hears my prayer. Don't think that way. Just keep doing what you know to do. Lean not to your own understanding. And notice he says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. And everything that Abraham does, he acknowledges God. God is there the whole time. He takes those young men and he circumcises everybody. He gets it all done. Why? Because God said to do it, and I'm acknowledging what God told me to do. Do you acknowledge God in all that you do? In the good, the bad, the ups, the downs, the defeats? When you fail God, do you still acknowledge God? See? Lean not to thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In all thy ways. In all thy ways. That means any way you figure. Up, down, north, south, east, west, whatever it is, you acknowledge God. Do you do that? If you don't, is there anything too hard for God? No. It's not. There's not anything too hard for God. Surely we can do some simple steps that Proverbs is telling us to do. Trust the Lord. That's not hard. You did that when you got saved. I trust the Lord. With all your heart. I believe everybody in here loves the Lord with all their heart. The best way they know how. Lean not to thine own understanding, but all thy ways acknowledge Him in all thy ways. That means the good and the bad and the ugly. That means the victories, the defeats, the haphazardness, the indecisions, that means everything. He said, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. Now here the last one, and He shall direct thy path. Notice that the path is not stated what it is, but notice who's doing the directing. It ain't you. You don't choose the path. And you don't get to know what the path is. Because the path can be generic. It can be whatever position or situation you happen to be in. You say, Lord, you pray for something and you ask God for it, and God says, no, this way. And you have to follow that. You know what? Why He puts that at the end? Because you've got to go through all that. If you don't get all that, you're not going to follow the right path. Because you're going to be rebellious in heart. You're not going to acknowledge Him. You're not going to lean to His understanding. You're going to lean to your own understanding. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to go off on some path that you pick. Now, I don't know about you, but I have been there before. And it gets back down to the basic things. Is anything too hard for God? No, they're not. Then follow the simple directions. Listen, when you bake cookies, you follow the directions. Even as dumb as I am, I can take a box and microwave it. Microwave, take top off, pull out of the box, put it in there, peel it back, set the microwave, follow the directions. And when you follow the directions, He'll direct the path. Now, whatever the path is, follow it. I don't like this path. I don't remember anywhere it says, and God will give you the path you want. No, I don't think it's there. Or, that's the happy path. No, I don't see the path's not named. The path is not described. Listen, I'd say there's a lot of people in here today, if I was to say, are you happy with the path you're on? Some of us would say, in some areas of my life I am. In some areas of life I'm not. But it's the path I'm on. I'd like to be lighter. I'd like not my knee not hurt. I'd like to be smarter. I mean, there's a lot of things I like. But that's not my path. I'm not going to never be a PhD. It's just not going to happen. My knee's not going to get any better, I don't believe, unless I get a new one. And if my wife keeps cooking, I'm never going to lose weight. That's just the way it is. But that's the path. So you're on some paths. And they're different things. Some of them are financial, some of them are spiritual, but God will direct those paths if you will trust in Him, acknowledge Him, and listen, lean unto Him. Is there anything too hard for God? No. then it surely ain't too hard that He can't direct you, and He can't work with you, and He can't lead, guide, and direct you. He didn't say anything about you getting a baby, and He gave Sarah a baby. If He can do that, I'm sure He can take care of my little piddly problems. How about it? All you got to do is this famous verse that everybody, I mean preachers, have signed for years and years. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. He shall direct thy path. Is anything too hard for God? Let's stand this morning. We'll get a song. If you need to come, maybe you need to talk to the Lord about something. Maybe you're not following the path. Maybe you're not acknowledging Him. Maybe you're not trusting Him with everything you need to trust Him with. Maybe you're here this morning and you're lost and you ain't even got the first step down. You've never trusted Him as your personal Savior. You can't, the rest of the whole message was lost on you because you never made the first step by trusting in Him. Come this morning, we'll get that worked out. I can show you in His Word what He says to do. Because there's nothing too hard for God. God can't save me. I'm too wicked. There's nothing too hard for God. Come. What number, brother? All right.